2020. It is 7:30 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone, and it is 8:30 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. On today, I have a very, very special guest, Mr. Ed Roman. And on today, it is yours truly, birthday. So Mr. Ed Roman is celebrating my birthday with me on today, and we're going to turn up the fun with Ed Roman and Fierce. We are going to turn up the fun on today. Hello, Mr. Roman.
Hey, how are you? How are you doing tonight? Happy birthday. I had no idea. What an honor.
Well, thank you. You know what? You know, I'm just going to jump right in and get things started. I don't know if Mike told you, but when I heard your song, Tomorrow Is Today, I'm here to tell you it put some more sugar in my soul. Do you hear me?
I heard you. Thank you.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
You are welcome. I'm telling you, that song gave me some sugar. It was sugar in my soul, sugar in my mouth, and sugar all over me. Tomorrow is today. That is a bad hit you got right there.
Thank you, thank you. I'm happy to bring it to people. I think subject matter means everything, especially in the day and age that you live in. So Herbie Hancock once said that the definition of an artist is one who has the ability to fuse their life with the rhythm of the times. And with that said, I think that the language in that tune is poignant because of what's going on today about decisions we've made that are making and things that we're all going through. We're all human, you know. So,
you know, and I like where there's a little quote that I want you to elaborate on a little bit, where it was said, a recipe for perpetual spring. That is so juicy.
I've always been fascinated with the past, you know, who we are, where we come from, and origins fascinate me, sociology, anthropology, and in that lineage of things that I'm interested in, Sir Francis Bacon has come up in the last little while in terms of somebody I've been very interested in. And he wrote a number of different interesting books, obviously, some of even which people would theorize that he was the author of the Shakespearean works. Started the Royal Society. He was a mathematician, expert in fluid dynamics, metallurgy. There's a stamina of intellect there. That's sort of staggering when you kind of look at who he was as a person. And he wrote this thing where he was talking about this idea of creating a perpetual spring, and how to do that was to bring about the culminating of many disciplines, many people with many disciplines, in order to work towards one goal. And in that result, you would find fecundity, if you will, something that would be perpetual because of the efforts that we all put into something. So I find that fascinating from a sociological perspective, you know, and that's where kind of the language of the material, the meat of the matter, if you will, or as you said before, the sugar in the bowl, that's what all the language on the record's kind of alluding to. So, you know, it's under the umbrella of that title, and Tomorrow Is Today falls into that category.
You know what, Ed, I've always, since the first time that we had an opportunity to talk on air and had an opportunity to play your music here on the Fierce Female Network, I'm telling you, I just love you. I just love you. And you know what? I always say, you know, I really do. I really do. I always say intelligence is sexy. And so intelligence is so sexy. And so, Ed, you are so overwhelmingly sexy.
Listen, girl, what are you doing to me? Because you know what? That's a wonderful compliment, but what you've said holds so much gravity because as you get older, you know, the shapes and forms are interesting. You know, the vessel, it can be beautiful, textures, colors, shape. But then you know, if there's nothing in there, what's there to sustain? And intellect to me, you know, I look at some people today and people are like, well, you know, where are they? The epitome of the quintessential, you know, Nefertiti of the 20th, 21st century. And I'm like, well, it depends on what she's got to say and
you,
how
you
they
know
say
what?
It.
It's like your words just make love to me. It's like you're making love to me when you're talking.
Well, that's the language I think it's supposed to be because even when it's punctuated with character, it has this learning mechanism that's very different than the sort of flat, contextual sort of aspect of literature. Literature can be fascinating, but when it's delivered in a certain way, that's why theater and music and language and lyrics are so fascinating, is because when they are delivered in a certain way, you feel the life force in it. That's like, and again, that learning mechanism goes in a high tilt. I had teachers in the past that were like, you know, they were the textbook teacher, but others that were far more theatrical in their approach to the information, that stuff stuck. And I liked it. I liked that about it. So, you know, bring it. I'm in. Let's make love with language.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm so serious. I'm learning so much. I always learn so much when I talk to you. It's such a learning experience, and when I'm learning something, it just pushes me forward. It pushes me forward in the universe. It pushes me forward in the realm of positivity, and I just love that. And so whenever I'm talking with someone that's positive and that has an opportunity to teach me something and I can learn something, it places me on a whole nother vibration, which is great stuff. That's great stuff. Whenever we can connect with someone, you know, that pushes us on another level, that's really great stuff. That's really great.
It's charismatic, I mean, and attractive, and there's so many things about it. I was saying that to somebody today, that isn't it funny, you know, when we're in, like, in an academic situation where there's things that are protocol, and you're like, you need to learn this. It's part of the curriculum. You may not be interested in it, but you have to absorb it in order to regurgitate it to get your information out there. But as you get older, and as a dyslexic, even talking to other dyslexic in the community, I started to realize, wait a minute, we all came to this point in our life where we really got excited about certain things that we want to learn more about. And consequently, that barrier of absorbing information through reading wasn't so cumbersome because it was exciting. There was something about it that was like this search for something in that way. And learning has that, I think, in our lives too, where we go through these fluctuations. Hopefully we're open, you know, to a lot of ideas and stuff, but we're also, you know, infiltrated every day with a lot of stuff that just doesn't mean anything. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you go through these accentuated learning moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like a sponge. You know, is my neuroplasticity, like, increased twofold here? Like, what is it? It's the passion and the excitement behind your enthusiasm that makes you go, dive in. I want more. I want more, right?
That is so good. You know, I want to switch gears just a little bit. I always start off on such a high note. I always just dive right in because I can't wait to talk to individuals. And I always skip all the part where I want to thank everyone, and I do want to take a moment to thank everyone that listens in to the Fierce Female Network. I want to thank you because this station, you know, we're heard all over. Okay, so we're heard internationally. I want to thank everyone that listens in from Vietnam. We have listeners over in Vietnam. We have listeners in Australia. We have listeners, of course, in the United States, all over. And it's just so fascinating, and it's so humbling as well to have listeners all over to listen and tune in. And so also, Ed, I know that your music has been played on over 100 terrestrial radio stations, and you've been heard in North America on 600 stations. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
600.
It's humbling. I mean, Michael's a big powerhouse. My management behind what goes on, I couldn't do what I do without him and a lot of other people. And I'm always reminding them, you know, this is something that we do together. But it is. It's like when you look at that, you go, oh, my gosh. Like a lot of people have been listening to what's going on, and then you hear, like, little reports of other things, and you're like, oh, my gosh. But that's, you know, it's strange. I used to, like, listen to other people talk about, you know, like the people that had sort of succeeded or were doing what they wanted to be doing with their craft. And they were like, you know, don't worry so much, they would say. You know, like you're thinking too much, you're trying to schedule everything in this way. Let the flow of it go. Some of it you may not like, and some of it you're gonna love. But the important thing is you just allow yourself not to worry so much. It's not like I don't care about what's going on, but in that relinquishment almost of like, well, I'm just going to let it float. 600 stations play something. Who am I to argue? And at the same time, like as I said, I'm humbled because it's like I see what I've done come to fruition and people enjoying it. That's the big emotional, spiritual payoff, because it's like one of the main reasons I feel like I'm here and doing what I'm doing, creating with my friends and people I work with. It's my life.
You know, I don't want to take this opportunity. I want you to go ahead and introduce Red Omen. I love this song. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. Last time you were here, we listened to Red Omen, and you were talking about what Red Omen means and how you came up with the title. And we're going to take a listen to it. I want to play that first, and then we're going to play Tomorrow is Today in a few more moments. But I wanted you to go ahead and talk a little bit about Red Omen.
Well, as I mentioned, I struggled immensely as a dyslexic, and I'm always be a dyslexic. But what I've learned from my experience is that I just think about things differently. Not any better, not any worse, just differently. And as a result, I've had to navigate the academic world differently. The words and language to me have always been fascinating, but what has been difficult for me is reading, not comprehending, but reading words as a dyslexic. People have to understand it's a three-dimensional, spatial, comprehensional learning ability, which means we want to be touching tactically and interacting with our learning environment. And text isn't that way. Quite often it's very flat and it's non-interactive other than in the imagination, but a dyslexic's imagination is very vivid. So where that helps me is by having almost a photographic memory. Just because of problems that I used to have, I had to sort of learn this way. Red Omen is like some of the things that I used to do with my mom. We used to do like word safaris and things like that because she helped me immensely after school with different things. And Red Omen was like a play, like an anagram on my own name. So the idea of Red Omen is it's a sort of telling a bit of the story of my life, intermingled with truths, the allegory, and some of the things that were, you know, fanciful in my thinking as a young person. And also just the suggestion that, you know, you need to believe in yourself as one of these kinds of situations when they befall you, because when you're labeled as such, it can be an incredible hindrance to you, especially when it comes to self-esteem. So Red Omen, you know, grew into something really amazing. It became a wonderful animated video created by a wonderful animator in New York. It's now the figurehead for fundraising for the Dyslexic Society here in Canada. All of that is vindication when you think about, like, you know, I struggled immensely as an academic. I'm now sort of a graduated literate, if you will, and acclaimed for what I do. So I think that there's a bit of a story there, and other people can share and learn from what that it struggle, you know, into something that turns into something beautiful.
Wow. You know what? That was so beautifully said. And I'm going to go right ahead and play Red Omen. I want you guys to take a listen to this beautiful and amazing song.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
That I grew up with Red Omen, and boy was he a neat kid. He had all sorts of really cool things to play with, like a plutonium spaceship lunchbox and a bathtub full of Legos. And I didn't believe you when somebody said that he fled with Jimi Hendrix to a UFO type base camp up on Machu Picchu. Up on Machu Picchu. Said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the drive, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. Laughing mad. There's a red hot stove down in Pittsburgh, going out hard like a cherry pie. Call me a fibber, call me a liar, say it to my face, like a cross between Benjamin Franklin and Ian Paice. And I didn't believe the man from MI6 living out in the sticks, who souped up his side by side like Evel Knievel. Just like Evel Knievel. Said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the crime, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. You see, my nerves are shattered, tired, tattered, beginning to fray. Just like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, realizing only now you're caught in someone else's claws. And I didn't believe in myself, if no one else, to be making voodoo music in some small town way up in Canada. Way up in Canada. I said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the crime, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad.
I enjoyed it. You know, and before we do, the time goes so very quickly. I wanted you to talk a little bit about Tomorrow Is Today, because I'm going to play that up next.
Sure. Well, it's the newest single. It's from the latest project, as we talked about before, A Recipe for Perpetual Spring. Mm-hmm. What can I say about it? Buddha once said, or was once supposed to have said, that the trouble is you think you have time. And with that said, I think we rely a little too heavily on the system, not only for our protection, but our moral direction and social salvation. So I think what we don't realize is that we are the system. Each one of us is our own individual beauty with jagged complexity, you know. All of that is a big part of what I think we all navigate every day. And pumping our emotional limbic system into the digital ether to describe every nuance of our living experience. There's so much going on in the living world around mm-hmm. us.
Yes.
The horizon every day has potential and opportunity. I spend a lot of my time outside in the summer because I garden, and I've had some experiences in my garden that I couldn't pay for or get an app to experience. They're my own personal experiences. For me, they were angelic. I'll share one of them with you if I may. It's like, so
yeah.
I'm working one day, I'm sort of kneeling down, and I hear all this buzzing, like a lot of buzzing, like sounds like, you know, an electrical box that's going to like, but there's nothing in my field behind me. And I stand up, and all of a sudden there's hundreds of bees, hundreds, in a swarm that are all following the queen to a new location, and she's going to make a nest, and they're all there to protect her and help her build the nest, right? And I got a shiver, like, you know, when you hear something in a song, and then I almost, like, wept, because I thought, will I ever experience this again, is the first thought I have. How lucky am I to see this, based on the borderline of complete, like, I'm amazed and at the same time afraid, because there's a lot of bees. And so that life experience where I really feel like I'm alive doesn't happen in my phone. That tomorrow is today is that sort of yelp of the living moment to say, look, we need to act now. There's so many things that are happening that yes, we can take the time to smell the roses. That's important too. But you know, putting our faith and trust in some things aren't necessarily the right idea. We can make those things happen in our own communities, in our own backyards, with people that we know, the people that need help. Those are all personal victories that don't even need to be amplified, because they're already amplified because you did them. So I guess that's why I wrote the tune. You know, I was really feeling, you know, these pangs of different things. Like, where did my money go? Like, you know, what's the recompense for the insanity that we vote for every 4 years? There's all of that is sort of tied into the language of it. And it's sort of an act now number, you know.
You know, as you was talking about that, I was sitting here and I was thinking, it's almost like that song, Tomorrow Is Today. It means, to me, it speaks to me because it's saying we need to move. I know there's a lot that's going on in the world today. Of course, there's a lot that we're all experiencing, and we're all connected, and we're all experiencing it as one, because we're one human race and we all feel. And my point is this: we need to move and do something right now, today, because if we don't, it's going to be tomorrow. If we don't move and do what we need to do right now, today, it won't get done. You know what I mean?
Sing it, because that's the truth. And not only that, what is the recompense for what is the travesties that have already occurred? I like it with my own, like, I'm Slavic in my background. So, like, the Stalinistic regime, you know, put to death 30 million Poles and Slavs. Am I supposed to hold the Russian government responsible and look for money for the loss of lives for those 30 million people that were killed in that process? We have to move past certain things moving forward means not forgetting about what happened, but making note of it so that we can grow. Otherwise, we're stagnating in the same repetitiousness of it. And it's a birth pang. It can be difficult, but alarming and frustrating and painful. But at the same time, in the end, it births something beautiful, which is life.
Mm, that is so true. All right, guys, this is tomorrow is today. I want you to listen intensely and closely to this song, and we'll be right back after the song.
All right.
And you know me too well, know me too well. Know me too well. But then again, I might be revealing all I can tell, all I can tell. Honey, all I can tell. Well, I've loved, stolen, and cheated. I lied and I lost, so what the hell? Baby, believe in yourself. We got a billion miles left to go, and I should kick myself today. But then the planet stops to roll. Well, yesterday's gone, tomorrow is today.
I'm here. Hi. Oh, I'm here. I was just,
you know,
in the background. I was like, whoa.
Okay. You know what? I mean this sincerely about this song. You know, it kind of reminds me of Bruce Springsteen in a way. But I was listening very closely to the song again. And you know, it's almost like the song should be an anthem for I don't know what, a national anthem for a cause, or the song just speaks volumes of meaning. And it really should be, it's so much bigger than me and you here just talking about. That song is just so much bigger. And I do, I just feel that it will be a national anthem for a cause or a movement. I just feel that way.
Wow, I don't know what to say, man. That's huge. We tried to, you know, aim for that feeling of it being big. And if it feels that way with the language and everything, and what, you know, that's huge. I got to say, like, you know, we're all influenced by so many different things. People have said, you know, it reminds me of Queen, it reminds me of this, it reminds me, you're saying Springsteen, like, I mean, I think he's an unbelievable lyricist, and I love the E Street Band, and it's just an honor to have it out there. I'm happy to say that the release for the video is coming up on November the 16th, so I hope people check that out. It'll be on American Highways for the release coming up. But, as I said, language in the living moment of it happening is so important. You know, you look back on even on a historical record, what it represents, you think, well, yeah, that too was written because it was this graphic effect that happened, and the artist reflected it in a certain way, just like Herbie Hancock stated in his statement. And I'm happy to bring it to people because I think it's relevant, you know. It's sort of a kick in the pants kind of tune, and sometimes you need that.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this song, it's just, it's the face. It's many faces. It's our face. That song is our face. Because even though we're living right now here today, you know, I don't know where that just came from, but it just came out of me. But it is, that song is our face. It's the face of America. It's the face of right now. It really is.
Girl,
it
you're
really
killing
is.
Me because, like I have like the, you know, like you have. It's not visions of grandeur or anything like that, but like a lot of the language, as I said, is extremely pointed to. Think of how many times you've said to yourself, "I just paid what for this, and it's already broken," or you know, like, you know, I gave all my money to the man behind the white picket fence, you know, safety, defense, the idea that, you know, we're protected and looked after. And then you turn around, you shake your head and look at what's going on and you go, what? That can't be, you know, or the ideas that are in the tune. Like people say, why would you want somebody to forget your name? Like, well, like to me, like if this tune is doing something positive for you, then, you know, all acts of kindness should come with no name attached to them. That's kind of what I was taught as a young person. So that's, to me, even with what art is doing, even though our names, like, oh, Ed Roman wrote this tune, there's many people that are involved with it, but ultimately it should be yours, you know, and having it be some kind of an anthem would be huge. It would be, I think, that the language today, without being self-centered or anything about it, is workable for that, you know.
Yes. You know what? And it's going to happen. It is going to happen. It is going
Bring
to happen. It is. It's going to happen. It's out there in the universe.
Well, remember, you're one of the first to debut the tunes on the show and to be able to talk about it and everything. So, you know, you got carte blanche there as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, you know, I know our time is just about up, and I enjoy you always. And you can come back again and again and again. I just love, it's just like chatting with a friend. Talking with you is just like chatting with someone that I've known for years, and it's just such a pleasure to be in the company with you and your fantastic music. It's
you
just
too.
Awesome.
You too.
Really,
it's a pleasure
you.
Speaking with you. Your voice is just
Thank
so,
you.
You know, wonderful, and I love your questions, and it's just an open conversation, and you let me go, so thank you.
You're more than welcome. And I want everyone to visit Ed's website, edroman.net. And Ed, if you have any more information that you want to share to the listening audience, go right ahead before we wrap up.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you so kindly for having me on the show and being able to express my passion about my craft and what I do. The new single is out. Tomorrow is today. It's available on iTunes. The previous single as well, Stronger, which is under the umbrella of A Recipe for Perpetual Spring. That single, Stronger, is out as well. The new release for the video is coming out on November 16th. So I hope people check it out and enjoy it. And hey, you know, if you want to turn it into an anthem, go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, it has certainly been a pleasure. Ed, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing this day with me. Thank you,
you too.
For sharing this
pleasure,
special
Irene.
Day with me. You're welcome.
Happy birthday.
You motivated.
I really appreciate
you. You motivated. You winning.